Welcome. You're listening to sermons and talks from Providence Church in Brisbane. We believe that God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So we pray that as you listen, you'll be encouraged and challenged to love Jesus and live for him. For more information about Providence Church, please visit our website, www.providencechurch.com.au.
One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
The title of my sermon, and it will only be a short and simple one this morning, but it's When Worship and Justice Meet. And we read that passage before. Thank you for reading it. Out of Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? And I think those asking him were expecting him to pull one of the Ten Commandments out as an answer. And Jesus replies with this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He gives two, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's at the center of, it really fulfills all of the other commandments that are there. And so he's talking about two things here, loving God, our worship, and because worship is, we all know, worship is not just the singing of songs, that is one expression, and worship is all of our devotion to worship our Lord God. And then he points it towards an external idea of loving your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus ties these two things together. The first one is love God, and it has to start there. But the second one is love your neighbour as yourself. And he connects them together. They're not optional, they're not competing, they're not separate, they go hand in hand. When we separate the two, worship can become private only, internal, disconnected from the world. Or justice can become just activism or humanism, disconnected from God. When we separate them, something essential breaks. But Jesus says, no, it's these two together, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second one is love your neighbour as yourself. That if you do the first, you won't be able to but help essentially do the second. It will flow on for it. And there's two dangers that when we separate these two commandments that Jesus gives. The first danger is worship without justice, which in many ways becomes empty religion. Israel had worship. They had festivals, they had sacrifices, they had songs, they had offerings. But God challenges them over and over again in the prophets. You lack something else that should come with that. In Isaiah 1, he says, stop bringing your meaningless offerings. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. In Isaiah 58, he says, you fast, but on the same day you exploit your workers. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Is this something that's an acceptable fast? And he goes on to say, isn't this the kind of fast I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to share your food with the hungry, to provide the wanderer with shelter, to clothe the naked. And that passage that you read before out of Micah chapter 6, what does the Lord require? Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. It wasn't that Israel lacked worship, it was that their worship lacked any justice or any outworking. Because worship without justice becomes, in many ways, empty religion. There are churches throughout history that have become so removed from the people that God has called us to serve. It's like a real life story I heard recently of a woman who went to a church with her young child. It wasn't my wife. It was another story a guy I know told me. His wife went to a church with their young child and was sitting up the back, like many of you are right now, and had her child, and the child was making a little bit of noise. Not much. A little bit. I think that's awesome, by the way. I love it. Kids should be everywhere in church. And got these looks. Like, why don't you control your child? Why don't you quiet your child? This is not 50 years ago. This is more recent times. And I'm like, really? Have we missed something here that church is an opportunity for people to come and to worship Jesus? It's the church that's more focused on what people say and wear and ticking all the boxes. I love that you're up hosting the service in shorts, Luke. If you'd known, I would have worn my shorts, although you probably don't want to see my legs. It's like a church I was in once where a young man turned up wearing a Mambo t-shirt and was told by someone who thought there was a demon around every corner that that was devil worship, and he turned around and left. It becomes disconnected from the people that we're called to serve. Now, I know that's not here and now, but where this creeps in for us and the danger where this sort of thing creeps in is through little things and little thoughts. It's like, oh, I didn't really like the worship songs this morning. I wish they'd pick that one. I like that one better. Really? Are we not here to worship our King? Does it matter which song they pick? I'm not talking about songs that maybe are not theologically right or the rest. Or I got a bit upset today when I got there and my seat that I like to sit in wasn't there. Or, gee, the preaching went long today. Or any number of little things like that where it suggests maybe that in our heart we're being a little bit disconnected and focusing on worship as some external thing rather than a matter of our heart and how we respond to Him. Let's not disconnect worship and justice. When we do, it becomes empty piety. It becomes empty religion. It becomes ritual and without that connection. But then on the other hand, you've got justice without worship. And the opposite danger is just as real. It turns into either filthy works or just humanism. Justice is good. Compassion is good. Serving the poor is good. But justice without worship, justice disconnected from God, becomes something else entirely. Isaiah again calls it filthy rags, works done in our own strength for our own glory without any connection to Jesus. It becomes either works or humanism. Ephesians 2 tells us really clearly that we are saved by grace, not by works, so no one could boast. And then it goes on to tell us that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which is something entirely different. It's not an earning. It's a, I've met Jesus, I worship Jesus, I follow Jesus, and now I want to do good works out of that. Justice without worship becomes activism without God, works without transformation, effort without grace. Not because the actions themselves are bad, but because we're not anchored back to the one who we worship. There are so many justice and mercy ministries birthed out of worship, birthed out of the heart of God, and they lose their way because they move away from that and they move away from Jesus. People have often said to compassion, if you just drop the in Jesus name bit, you get a whole lot more support from the community. And I'm like, no, we're not dropping the in Jesus name bit. No way would we ever do that. We've doubled down on that more and more in my time at Compassion. It's always been there strong and it just gets stronger. Because we're not disconnecting from that. That's the why. Is at the center of it is Jesus. And we want everyone to know about Jesus. We do feed children, but we're not a feeding program. We do help children with healthcare, but we're not a hospital. We do help children with education, but we're not a school. We are the local church, we're a global discipleship movement that is believing for children to be released from poverty in Jesus' name. I'm not going to name other ministries, but you would know some of them over the years that have fallen away and stepped away from and distanced themselves from that. And that's not what God's calling us to do. He brings these two commands together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. The two go hand in hand together. The two are connected. And it becomes this, when we are worshipping with our whole heart in all of our life, and again, when I use that word worship, please don't just think about songs, but in all that in devotion to Jesus, then the natural response is we can't help but want to help others and love our neighbour. It's a natural overflow of that. And so I'd suggest if ever I'm challenging, struggling into Jesus at, because if it's there and if I'm in the right place with that, then that will be a natural overflow. Our love for God leads us to loving our neighbour, and loving our neighbour becomes a testimony for others to in turn one day love God. So what does it look like as I finish when worship and justice meet? It looks like Zacchaeus in Luke, the tax collector, who Jesus comes to him and he's up a tree because he can't see, and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. And he comes to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus, after having Jesus at his house, having met Jesus, comes out afterwards and says, look, Lord, I give half of everything I have to the poor, and for anyone I've ripped off, I'll pay them back four times. It's not a works thing, because Jesus actually says, today salvation's come to this house and to this man. I've encountered him and I now can't help myself. It looks like the widow in Luke chapter 21. Everyone else is coming along in their pompous thing. Oh, look what I'm doing. Look everyone, look it. And she's come along with so little that was so much. And Jesus notices and sees this worship of hers. It's like the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians 8, who had a severe trial and overflowing joy. I love that Paul puts those together. Severe trial and overflowing joy. You can have both at the same time. And extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. It says they gave as they were able and even beyond, pleading with Paul for the privilege of helping. Don't leave us out. We want to be included. We want to help. It's like the teenagers I met in Indonesia on a compassion trip last year who were sponsored and were given job skills as teenagers. Now one had a bakery, some were doing welding, some had this cup making, mug making little business, some were selling used clothing online, some were working in a little barber shop they created. They had all these skills, and these teenagers came together and said, let's take some of the money that we've made out of that, not for ourselves, even though they're living in poverty, but let's include another five or six kids who couldn't be in the program, and let's personally sponsor them ourselves for them to join the program. I'm like, am I even a Christian? I know I am. I'm like, wow. It's like Christians in Australia who donate their clothes and food. It's like volunteering to help feed the homeless. It's welcoming the refugee. It's sponsoring children. It's helping clean up someone's house who's been affected by disaster. It can be giving money. It also looks like getting our hands dirty. Looks like meeting needs as we come across them. It looks like listening to that person who has no one else to listen to them. And it won't be convenient. And it will cost something. And it will be at times when you don't want to do it. It will be over the rubbish bin as you're putting it out and you're in a rush and your kid's crying inside, but you can see something's wrong with your neighbour and you stop and you listen and you talk, and it will cost. It may not fit in with your plans for the week, but it's what it looks like when worship, devotion to God and justice, helping others meet. And I imagine a church of Australia known for that and what that would look like. This is not a program. This is being a disciple of Jesus. This is what it is to follow him. And so I've got two simple invitations for you to think about this morning before I pray. One is to renew your worship, loving God with your heart, soul, mind, strength. It's all of us, all the time. And out of that, then renewing your justice, helping your neighbour. Compassion is but one of those opportunities. I invite you all to go, what is at least one thing I can do this week in that space to help someone in need? When worship and justice come together, I really believe the world in us can see Jesus. Father, I just want to thank you for this group of people here, this local church community, as they are following you, Lord, as they are devoting themselves to you. Thank you for all the expressions and opportunities to then serve others as well, that they won't be able to help themselves. And today, Lord, if in any way we've been disobedient or lackluster in our commitment to you, our devotion to your lordship, Lord, may we repent. May we reignite that in our hearts and be recommitted to that. And also, Lord, help each of us know what are the things that you're asking us to do as our outward expression of loving our neighbour. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.